Okay, I'm excited. This is great news. Disney announces launch dates for its Star Wars theme parks. And it talks about here, they're going to have some sort of a park called Galaxy's Edge. And that's going to be available in California and Orlando next year. Woohoo! Just in time for episode 9. I'm not excited about the new trilogy. Part 7 got me excited. Then part 8 was a total dud, The Return of the Jedi. So maybe if they get the last one correct, maybe, possibly, who knows. I'm not watching Solo. Now it feels like a money grab. They're totally veering away. I don't know. But I'm excited to do the Star Wars thing. That's really cool. I can see Disney, especially in Disney World, because they have so much real estate. They're able to build maybe a Marvel Cinematic Universe park once they have all their properties. I see that happening. But I understand what they're doing with Star Wars in particular here, because they're trying to get their money back and then some. I mean, they're paying $1 billion. They're trying to make $10 billion. And they're cranking those movies out, merchandise, all that shit. That's what the people, the fans of certain franchises always worry about. Shit goes mainstream, right? I mean, that's kind of like the next one up will be like The Matrix, if it comes back up. That's the great one in my day anyway. But Marvel, people are complaining. Even though Marvel is doing it right, people complain about that. But I think Star Wars has dropped the ball, especially with that last episode. You got a lot of fans pissed off, like me. But yeah, so that was a very interesting thing. Man, I'm just cranking away here as the week goes on. I can't believe it's Wednesday already. It's one of those things that when you're in a different environment and you're enjoying what you're doing, time flies. Never fails. And one of the things I got to thinking about, obviously, was accounting for change in relationships. What else is new? What else is fucking new? I'm always talking about that. You know, I'm like fucking unofficial life coaches for people here. And what happens with me is when I have dialogue with folks, then I start, a light bulb kicks in. And I'm like, okay, I need to rant about this. Because if my daughter, she gets in the same pickle when she's older. Because that's the fear, right? I mean, the fear for me is that she's going to get with somebody evil and manipulative and do some gaslighting, which is a concept in which people are being manipulative. They're trying to twist things on you, and they do it all the time. They're an expert. You know, men are evil like that. Men are very insecure, and when they get a girl and they know they have her, they twist and burn her. And the problem with the women is that they drag themselves through the mud for that man. They just feel love, it's like this thing that you have to be stabbed and be tortured about. Like, it can't be this fantasy, all beautiful thing, or it's going to turn around, or they keep hope alive. You know, but they won't invest in a stock. Even though they have more, you can have more of a logical return when you go in a stock and expect things to go the right way, right? But yeah, but I think the element of change is something that I always tell people I do. I account for change through all my talks, when I do the vetting, when I dialogue with people. The one thing I realize is that we all change. We all have, as we develop in life and go through it, same person you are now, it's not the same as 10 years ago. And you don't know who you're going to be 5 years from now, 7 years from now. And in particular, women, it seems like when they go through different levels, they're very self-reflective. They're always digging in and looking at themselves. And what I mean by that is that I run into people that once they're married, once they want to have a relationship, okay, they got a relationship, then they move in, then they get engaged and they get married. Right, like their focus changes, and they have kids, and then after kids, and having a house, and all these things that they envision having, right? They all come to fruition, and then they realize that they're not fulfilled, and they want to keep evolving and changing, and they keep trying to find whatever it is that fulfills them and makes them happy. But their partner is steady Eddie. They haven't changed. They're not looking for growth. They're happy in the little paradigm box they're in. And that's what causes issues. So I'm always telling people when I talk about my hypotheticals, and I'm always testing and retesting to make sure that they understand where I'm coming from, is understanding that I account for change. And you have to account for change, because people give off their best impression of who they are. They're not going to let you in and see you're ugly. They're not going to go ahead and try to let you see your worst because they run for the hills. I mean, I've learned this firsthand. When you're very transparent and very upfront and you talk about things that are totally unconventional or totally down the line shit, they run for the hills. They're like, oh, I'm not going to deal with that. And I scratch my head saying, well, you know, joke's on you because you're going to run into people that will have issues. But guess what? The difference is you're going to find out after marriage. You're going to find out once you live together, once you've invested time. And then what are you going to do then? Right? And you're going to be saying to yourself, damn, if I would have known this before I got married, fuck. Well, that's where I'm at, you know, especially when it comes to, I let them know, man, within three conversations, I let them know, hey, I'm not looking to legally marry, man. Like, I'll go ahead and do everything, anything you want, but I'm not signing legal papers. I'll sign a will, I'll sign a whatever. I'll sign the power of attorney. I'm not legally marrying because I'm accounting for change. Not just your change, but mine. And I'm not going to be disrespectful. And when you talk like that to people, they automatically think you're in an extreme way trying to have your cake and eat it too. And because people don't think like I do in that regard. And I let them know it's not as if I'm saying it's going to happen. I'm just accounting for it because if that moment comes in the connection that we have where things are getting stale, things are not progressing, or we're not happy, then if you're not open to trying different things and trying to see what options are available for us to be in a better place, then there's no reason to discuss. And what happens is people get in that stale mode once they're locked in legally, financially. It's like, what the fuck do you do? Like I said, I'm okay with living with somebody and let's just say we're not married, but we live together. We're in a relationship and everyone, and all of a sudden something happens, things change and I move out and then we have a house together. No problem. We have mutual power, right? I mean, if we have a kid, the way I feel is, okay, I'm going to have joint custody and that's that. I mean, I'm not a drug dealer. I'm not a person that causes harm. I have a resume with my little one. So those are things that I'm aware of as far as my outs, being able to cut that cord, because I am very skeptical of people and what they claim to be versus who they really are. It never fails on both sides. I run into so many people in their relationships and talk to them about it, how they got a different person than what they started with. Or they've become a different person than what they started. And they're either afraid to discuss it or their partner is afraid or doesn't even want to go there because of ego, because they just can't see that change is needed or they're being stubborn about it. They just want to keep things as is. And that's when I think you create a lot of issues, unfortunately. And that's where I tell people, if you're not open to talking about things, if you don't have that type of mindset where if the going gets tough, you're not going to explore options about what we need to do, whether it's on a personal level, emotional, or sexual level, then I don't want to, this is not going to go anywhere. It may be perfect. It may be ideal. You want to have that Prince Charles wedding, whatever the fuck. What was that prince's name? I don't know. But you want to have something like that storybook. And at the end, happiness, as long as we exude happiness and we know what's going on, no one needs to know what the fuck is going on inside that household. However we do it, no one needs to fucking know. All right? And that's the recipe for it. You know, a lot of people, you people, get caught up in spilling the details and bragging about it. That's your fucking problem. Because you go in there and you say, well, you know, things are great. And you letting it be known how awesome it is on all levels. That's the problem with you women. You fucking just talk your business. It's okay. There's a difference between letting your relationship be known and keeping things private within your relationship. I don't get that. It's not as if I talk to anybody in details about what's going on in my relationship. I don't. It's like, yeah, we're good. You see us good? We're good. Nothing going on. We're happy. Yeah. But as far as the details and what's going on in it, you don't need to fucking know. And quite frankly, I'm sure you don't want to know. But we're happy and that's it. That's all that matters. But people don't think that way, unfortunately. A lot of them don't. because they're so fixated on their vision and what it needs to be. And you dumbasses, of course, people are going to play that part. That's the stupidity of you. It's like, well, I need to hear what resonates with me. But then you don't realize that it's all a show. More than likely it is, because people are on their best behavior in the beginning. All that shit dissipates, man. And the quicker you realize that, the better off you are. So I look for that type of mindset from the beginning. And I'm throwing haymakers from the beginning. And this is what I do. This is what I think. Are you sure? Because right now, man, I love my holidays. And I think someone was talking to me about this, which resonated with me. And I believe this is the problem for me, is that when it comes to dating, I enjoy my I think I'm going to have a problem with letting go of that freedom, letting go of full autonomy that I have. Not that I'm a control freak. I do enjoy sharing company and being good to others, but I don't want to fuck up the zone I'm in currently. And it's a great zone. So the moment you add just one person into it, it derails things. And that's the concern that I have, because obviously the person is going to come in with their own intentions, with their own vision, and they want to mold you into that, or they want you to at least come halfway. And I have no problem, but like I said, if you have a problem with me being on my own and doing things on my own and traveling and not wanting to spend every free weekend with you, then that's a great start. Great fucking start. But if you're expecting me to spend my only two free weekends with you, or every time I have to call you all the time and you get all crappy and moody when I don't call, and I'm sorry, you need to go get a hobby. You need to go figure it out. And I don't know what else to tell you, but you're not going to coerce me into that mode. And that's the problem that I run into. But I think I enjoy the holidays in the sense that I can just sit there and not have to host people, not have to go over anyone's house, not having to do anything. I just sit in my fucking couch, in my fucking bed, watch a Netflix series that everyone's talking about, fucking crank away, watch it with ice cream, and fucking not give a flying fuck. Not hear from anyone because everyone's with their families. So it's great. So your phone is silent. I mean, Thanksgiving. I remember the last few years, what I've been doing is I go ahead and get a hotel over there by Estero, by the beach or something like that, or by the bay. And I'm sitting there blasting football all day and cooking and just sitting there doing nothing, just looking out at the view. I'm not getting phone calls. I'm walking butt ass naked in the fucking hotel. No one's bothering me. It's fucking liberating, man. It's like, I don't have to worry about, oh my God, so-and-so's coming over, or we have to go over so-and-so's house, yada, 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 yada. And I don't care how many times you tell me, being around people, those are family holidays. I never grew up spending family holidays with family. So it doesn't resonate with me. Doesn't mean that I don't enjoy it. Doesn't mean that I don't think it's positive. But it's not something that I yearn for. Okay? It's like, if you never had something, how can you miss it? If you've never had ice cream, how can you miss it? So it's like, and when I'm around it with other people, I feel indifferent. It's not as if I have this wholesome feeling of being accepted and being welcomed. You always sense a feeling of where you stand, which is right outside. It's weird, man. I don't want to even explain it, but it just doesn't feel genuine. So, I don't know. That's going to be the one thing I grasp on this fucking nonsense dating app rant, whatever the fuck I'm talking about. I'm just here trying to get some thoughts in because I have crabby people always giving me a shout out. Man, get more shit out here. I don't know what the fuck, man. Life is good. I mean, I listen to my comedy. I go ahead and I did some podcasting for the company I work for. And we're just fucking rolling along, waiting for fantasy football to get really started, working out again. Well, hold on. Let me go ahead and check the scale. All right, 288. So I'm slacking. I've gained a couple pounds. Oh, well, that's the battle. But I've been really lazy, man. I almost triggered my passion last week. But, man, I just fell off. I really fell off this weekend. Oh, well, that's what we get. What else is going on in the news? Yeah, I saw some shit as well with, what was that guy, that rapper? Damn, that's been making the headlines. I forgot his name. Kendrick Lamar. He had a white person up on stage. I saw that in my news cycle. I follow the Inside Drop. It's a very good outlet on Instagram. He puts all that shit up. And he fucking put a video of Kendrick Lamar having... this is a rap concert, so it's a black guy rapping, okay? And a black guy rapping is going to say the nigga word, the N word, okay? And that's what the rappers do, right? I mean, they just talk from their reality, from their view. But guess what? When you have a white person from Alabama up on stage and having them rap your words, don't get offended if they repeat everything you say. I don't fucking understand that. You got to understand the context of that word when that white person is saying it, dude. They're not saying it to be malicious. They're loving you. They're giving you love. They're repeating your words, man. You know, you can't go ahead and ban a word and say what you can and can't do with it. I don't feel it. I mean, we're 2018, man. People are more embracive. I mean, when you go into fucking Alabama and doing a rap show, you got to know there's got to be people there that are very embracive to your music. And ignore the ignorance. That's my mindset. Ignore the ignorance, man. And it's not about being an Uncle Tom, man. People think that because I'm just trying to be down the middle, man. This girl, bless her heart. I mean, she loves Kendrick Lamar. Paying money to be at the concert. Obviously listens to his music, knows his lyrics, supporter of the dude. And he's going to have a fucking grind, extra grind when she says, nigga? Come on, man. Because of the history? I understand that. But look at the girl. You think the girl is maliciously saying it to you? You think she's trying to be acclimated with you in some way, shape, or form? No, she's going in. Now you went ahead and turned the fan against you. And now she's probably not going to listen to your shit ever again. She's going to be embarrassed. I mean, I don't get it, man. Why you get bent out of shape? Why do people get bent out of shape off things like that? It's a fucking, music. You're saying it in your fucking, listen, let me just give you a solution. You don't want white people saying it? Don't say it in your raps. Okay, listen to some 1980 raps so you can understand that there are probably better lyricists than you out there. Not Kendrick Lamar. Kendrick Lamar is really awesome with lyricism. So my whole point is that people back in the day rapped without saying such things. So go ahead and be creative. Don't say it. Eminem is the greatest rapper. He doesn't say it. So I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I think when you get offended, it's a problem. It's something that you have to understand, black people, man. When you're saying that word freely in your raps, most of your consumers are going to be white. Just saying. It's like when you watch an NBA game, you don't see a bunch of black people on there, down in the front row, in the lower tiers, NFL games. You don't see the same thing. I mean, white people are going to be there. And it's a beautiful thing because it immerses white and black America. It immerses sports and entertainment is one of the few places where different people from different walks of life immerse and are able to congregate for the cause, whether it's for entertainment, music, or sports. And for you to go ahead and get all sensitive about it and butthurt, well, if you're going to be like that, then don't fucking put it in your raps. That's how I feel. I mean, you got to look at the context of it. You know, were these kids in a gas station just being angry and saying the N-word? No. They probably say it around their friends, their good friends. Does it make it right? No, but you've commercialized that word. You commercialized that usage of the word. I'm not big into music being powerful to me. If you're giving me a choice about what's more powerful, movies, videos, or music, I mean, music is down there in the bottom. I really do. I think I see it firsthand growing up myself, and I see it firsthand with my daughter when it comes to social media and television being way more powerful than music. Music accentuates what you feel. So if you want to be a black person, then you're going to listen to rap music. Okay? But if you're going ahead and getting ideas, you're going to watch TV. You're going to watch YouTube. I know my daughter has gotten her personality from a lot of bad stuff on YouTube. Okay, it's not because of the music she listens to, because trust me, she's listening to Disney Princess songs with me. There's nothing crazy. She's listening to Peanut Butter and Jelly songs. All right. So I don't, anybody that wants to give me a case about music being powerful and you're having to demolish it and it has to be all Christian, get the flying fuck out of here. You're an old person. You're not seeing what's around you. Social media is more addicting. I just read an article about that Instagram is going to be instituting. I want to say another social media platform is doing that as well, but I know Instagram for sure, where they're going to show you how long you're on it, because they're built, I don't know if you knew this or not, but social media is built for you to be addicted. Hello? They built that motherfucker so that it keeps your attention. Why do you think we do it more than watching our own TVs anymore? Huh? It's, you know, they got psychologists on that shit. They got people to create that, and you don't even know that. It's like the whole sugar thing. Like, everyone's been pumping cigarettes, but sugar is really a detriment. But, oh, well, I'm just here ranting away, right? 20 fucking minutes. I got 20 minutes of this. I just do this again. Oh, but, yeah, I have a problem with that. I don't understand why the people get all fixated on that. Look, you're going to a concert, you're having a good time. Let this shit happen, man. You know, don't go to Alabama. Then don't perform next to white people. Don't promote your music to white people. Come on, man. Get the fuck out of here. Don't bring people on stage if they're going to offend you. I don't know, man. Again, I'm not saying that it's not a problem, you know, that we shouldn't be using such derogative terms, but you're putting it into music, so what's up? It's entertainment. And I don't believe people should be legislating morality. Like I said, man, you just ignore the ignorance. You're going to have it around you. All these social justice warriors that are trying to have you walk on eggshells every fucking day. It's like trying to deal with like a depressed woman that has been through the fucking ringer and she's like taking prescription meds because she's clinically depressed. And anything you fucking say, it reminds them of a relationship they had 20, 25 years ago. It's like, dude, like get over it. Like, you know, I don't want to live that type of life where I'm worried about what people are fucking saying. You know, and it's like, yeah, you know, Mano, you're saying some crazy shit. I get it, but I'm speaking my truth. And anybody that knows me, I'm not a racist. I'm not a person that's bigoted. I'm not a person that I believe in everyone, man. I believe in everyone and being happy. And just don't fucking force me to marry you.